Get your favorite beverage ready. It's time for the Peachtree Hoops Podcast. Hey there, Atlanta Hawks fans. Here we are. It's the Peachtree Hoops Podcast. I'm Phil Nasons, and I'm one of the hosts of this weekly radio show. You can catch it every week on Max Sports Channels. You can also find it over at PeachtreeHoops.com. We are not on iTunes yet, but we will. We submitted the link, and we'll get there. Until then, you can catch us, like I said, every day at Max Sports Channels, as well as at PeachtreeHoops.com. That's an SB Nation site. Normally, we have three of us. One of us couldn't make it, but Chris Willis is here. Chris, welcome to your own show. How are you?
Hey, doing good, Phil. I appreciate you hosting, as always, and we'll try to pick up Jason Walker's slack best we can.
Well, that won't be that hard. I talk to Jason all the time. People are starting to get nervous. They think I'm dating you guys. I say it's because I stalked them on Twitter. You know, I made that joke about it, and all of a sudden now they think people are calling me a stalker, and I didn't like it. This is how I get my guests for my show. I mean, you have to do what you have to do when you have a show. But I got to tell you, I've enjoyed hosting or co-hosting this show with you guys. And we've gotten so much great feedback, but I get asked a lot of questions on my daily show, as you know, as the host of the Phil Nasons Show. I might as well plug my show while I'm here. But, you know, and most of the people that are listening to this already know about it. I probably don't need to. But I get a lot of questions, man, a lot of them from service people all over the world. You name it, I get them. And people are asking me, and I saw this over at PeachtreeHoops.com, do you think the Hawks are slowing down?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's been a topic at Peachtree Hoops for, you know, several weeks now. It's almost like we're down to grading wins, you know, and it's not fair. I mean, the Hawks played in an unbelievable clip for over a month. I mean, they were undefeated in January. No team is going to play at that level for over an 82-game season. That's what makes teams like the 72-win Chicago Bulls so special. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Wear and tear catches up to you. Complacency catches up to you. The Hawks have slowed down, but they had to. You know, there's no way around it. Miami had the big winning streak, I believe it was last season or year before. You know, and they talked about how big of a grind that streak was. You know, and I mean, they was almost a deep breath when that winning streak ended. I mean, I felt like Atlanta had that earlier this season. There was that deep breath, that exhale, because the streak's over. So, you know, yeah, they have slowed down, but that's not a problem. You know, I mean, because it was expected. And if, you know, if you're expecting them to go out and beat every team in the league by 20 points, you know, you're misguided. You know, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, they're still in good shape. They're not playing as crisp basketball right now as what we have seen, but they're still winning. That's the key point. You know, they can go into a game against Orlando and not play well and grind out a victory. You know, they can go to Miami and rest three starters and grind out a victory. And that's the biggest sign, because those are not games that this team's won in the past. That's the difference in this team and those teams from, you know, a couple of years ago. They can go in those tough moments and still find a way to win. And that, you know, that's what's got me excited. I mean, we've seen them against Golden State put up those big offensive numbers, you know, in those shootout games. But, man, we've seen the game slow down and them getting gritty, you know, and win these slugfest 93, 91 games or 88, 86 games, you know. And that's a great sign. They can do it both ways, you know. People are always saying that, you know, the game's going to slow down in the playoffs. Well, the Hawks have shown they can win that way. So, you know, you're always concerned they're going to fall off. But, I mean, this team's proven they're 10 games up in the Eastern Conference, you know. Some people are just afraid to sit back and enjoy it.
Boy, you said a mouthful there. And you can find Chris over at – no, never mind. You know what? You're right. Playoff basketball is a different issue. You can't, even in the regular season, you're not going to just bury everybody. And here's the other couple of things too that I was thinking about. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but you know, teams are starting to play defensively differently against Atlanta than they were the first, say, 40 games. That's going to happen. You know, there are coaches, those guys in suits that aren't on the bench but sitting directly behind the bench, they're not spectators. They're coaches. And they're looking at tapes and they're trying to find a way to stop what these guys are doing. And one of the ways is by slowing it down. And Atlanta has proven that they can do that, that they can adapt and adjust. And that's what you're seeing is a lot of adjustments made by Atlanta because teams have made adjustments against them. You're going to see them get into shootout games with Golden State because that's how Golden State plays. And those kind of games you're going to see. You're probably going to see that on Friday night against Cleveland. You're not going to see this lockdown defensive battle. You're going to see some guys running down the floor. You're going to see a lot of points scored. And that's a good thing, too. But in these grinders, these games like against the Magic and the Heat, and they play with the Heat minus, what, four starters, four guys, four key people? Smile once in a while, folks. It's a beautiful thing. You could be a Knicks fan like me.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy it. That's the thing. You know, and I'm not saying there's not concerns. I mean, there's teams out there that can give this Hawks team a lot of trouble in a seven-game series. You know, and you made a great point. Teams are adjusting. Teams are looking at the tape. Something this Hawks teams or Hawks franchise really has never seen is they're getting the best shot of their opponent every week because they're on top. You know, I mean, when you're fifth or sixth in the conference, you know, you're getting overlooked. Nobody's game planning for you, especially in a big, tough stretch of the schedule. Everybody's gunning for Atlanta now. So, you know, it's natural. I mean, we've seen teams crash the offensive boards a lot more because that's a weakness of this Hawks team. They weren't doing that early in the year. They were more tuned in for the transition D. But, you know, we've seen teams attack the Hawks on the boards now, and Atlanta's had to make adjustments for that to try to prevent that. But, you know, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's just, it's a game, the game within a game. And, I mean, these guys are jockeying around, and they're making notes, and they're trying to figure out things that's going to work in the postseason. Just relax. I mean, this Hawks team's – they're probably not as good as the one that rattled off all those wins, you know, and went undefeated in January, but they're not bad either. You know, they're still the best team in the Eastern Conference.
That's just it. And, you know, there's another thing, too, is that, like you said, there's an X on their back, and that's the first time a lot of these guys have felt that in the NBA, you know, and that's a term of respect. And sometimes they don't handle things as well as you would like them to. Let's not forget it, and I hope I don't offend anybody by saying this, but you don't have a legitimate superstar on this basketball team. But you got some awfully good players, and you've got a great team because of it, and you're going to get somebody to come after you. And the fact that these guys have held their own when teams have come after them, when they've played so many games and some of these guys are starting to wear down a little bit, they're not getting enough rest, and that's why you saw what you saw against Miami, because I saw people complaining about that too. And you know what? Relax. You're in the playoffs. This is the first time that I can remember Atlanta being a number one seed in a long time. Relax. Enjoy it. Enjoy being an NBA fan and not critiquing every two-point victory. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be different in the playoffs. You're going to enjoy yourself. But relax. It's all good. It really is. And Atlanta, you have a beautiful team to watch. Just by looking at them, how they handled their business against the Magic. They could have just packed that one in, but they didn't. And they came out of there against that Vucevic kid who's a beast. They played well at the end when they needed to.
Yeah, that's been the biggest difference. I mean, a lot of these games that could very well have been bad losses, you know, the Hawks have found a way. They've got it done when they needed to. That's the biggest difference in this team than last few years. I mean, they found a way to execute in these tough, you know, gritty matchups that are close, and you know, and you've got to make a play. They found ways to make a play without a superstar player. The way like you mentioned, I mean, it's a combination of factors. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. I mean, I think they're gonna rest a lot of guys down the stretch. I think the goal is gonna be to be playing well when the playoffs come about, but to also be rested, healthy, That's the most important factor for Atlanta. You know, I think you're going to see John Jenkins a lot more. You're going to see Mike Muscala more. And, you know, it just positioning now at this point of the season.
Well, exactly. I think what you're going to see is a strong Hawks team on Tuesday night against Houston, a very strong Hawks team on Friday night against Cleveland, and then you're going to see again Budenholzer resting people on Saturday against Philly, on Monday against Sacramento, on Wednesday when they start that road trip in Denver because they have Phoenix on Friday, and then they have to play Golden State again, Oklahoma City. And these are games I'm sure Budenholzer's going to want to send a message, and he's going to want a rested crew to do it. And that's all part of the NBA season. You know, it's great to see what they've done. I can't believe anyone would want to criticize this Hawks team, Chris, over a two-point victory against Miami. That was a tough game, and they played without some of their best players.
Yeah, I don't think it comes down to just one game, but I mean that streak in January spoiled a lot of people. You know, it raised the bar. And, you know, it's just unfair. I mean, you just can't keep up that pace, you know, for 82 games. I mean, no team can. Cleveland looks really, really good right now. But, I mean, think about how they started the season. They're not going to keep that pace up throughout. And they probably don't want to because they'll carry that into the playoffs. You know, that'll be kind of a crutch, so to speak, hanging over them a little bit if they try to. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting week. You got Cleveland, Chicago. You've got Houston. You've got Cleveland coming up. James Harden Tuesday night. LeBron Friday. Possible playoff preview with the Cavs. It's going to be a fun week.
It's going to be a great week. It's going to be fun to be a basketball fan, especially an Atlanta Hawks fan or an NBA fan altogether. I've said this before on my show. I'll say it again. The Eastern Conference is no more. And you've got a great game with Houston. I'm not a fan of the Houston team, the Beard, the Weird, and Josh Smith, too. Now, Josh Smith is returning. What's that going to be like? You're going to be there. Will you please make sure to bring your little recorder? And I want to hear the boos for Josh Smith because we're going to play it on next week's show.
You know, it's amazing. You know, I'm not the biggest Josh Smith fan out there, but he's doing the things that he absolutely needs to do with the Rockets. Part of it is they're not playing him in the situations that he's been in Detroit and really Atlanta either. He's coming off the bench. He's getting spot minutes. He's probably the fourth or fifth option on offense. And he's doing the things he does well. Still not making free throws. Still throw up a bad jump shot every now and then. But he's shooting the ball better. And it's because I think his minute they've taken the ball out of his hands a little more. He's a little more efficient. But that'll be fun. Him coming back to Atlanta, I expect him. You know, he's not really came back to Phillips Arena and had this huge game. Tuesday scares me because he's going to be in one of these situations now where, you know, the team doesn't need him to carry them, but he could put up a big game Tuesday night. It would not shock me one bit. But, you know, the key to that team still is James Harden. I mean, you can't let that guy go for 40, 35, 40 points. DeMar Carroll's going to have a very, very tough week. Kent Bazemore, you know, those guys, you're going to have Harden Tuesday. You're going to be trying to slow down LeBron on Friday. It's going to be another taxing week for those two, for those guys.
You know what? One of my greatest fears is if Josh Smith has a monster game, you know, there's a part of the Atlanta Hawks fan base that thinks that it was a mistake to let him go. And they're going to hear from them too. And please, Josh Smith is an aberration. He's not the rule. And I can tell you this, I'm not a fan of him either. The day he quit in a playoff game on your Atlanta Hawks was the day you should have. No one should be a fan of him. No one. No one in the NBA is really. They don't really like him. And that's for one of those reasons being that. I was mortified when I watched that, and I'm not even a Hawks fan per se, but the guy that you're going to have to watch for Houston is Terrence Jones. He has played really well in Dwight Howard's absence. He's coming off an injury too, he being Jones, and he's one that likes to get loose, and if he gets it going, that could be trouble because Millsap is going to take care of Josh Smith. Paul Millsap, we forget about him sometimes. it's amazing because he's a good kid. He's a quiet kid. The Utah Jazz fan base, and I work with those guys, as you know, Chris, and I can tell you they love him to death. They listen to this segment. When you come on my show, they listen to you because they want to hear about Paul Millsap. He's going to take care of Josh Smith. Horford's going to handle his business, but Jones is the one you want to stop.
Yeah, I watched the Rockets the other night, and you know, I've always been kind of a fan of Terrence Jones, and I was wondering, you know, I kind of scratched it down in my notebook the other night, what's going to happen when Dwight comes back? You know, how are they going to get Dwight? You know, how are they going to get everybody minutes in that front court with Jones and Josh Smith both there? You know, that's going to be interesting to see because Jones is playing well. He played well last year. You know, they've been looking for a power forward, you know, for a long time. And I kind of wonder why, because I really like Jones. So, you know, that's going to be a fun matchup. The Rockets, you know, they play wide open, but, you know, still, I still think it comes down to the beard. You gotta slow that guy down. I watched him a couple of years ago, put up 40 at Phillips Arena opening night. You know, he's a load to handle, so it'll be the matchup to watch, I think.
The Oklahoma City Thunder, they made a big mistake getting rid of the weird or the beard. I get them goofed up. Beard, weird, and the really weird.
They're both kind of weird. Yeah, I mean, I think they're both kind of weird when you come right down to it. But
I think so, too, but it is what it is. They're very entertaining, and the other thing about the beard is he's playing defense this year a little bit. And that's a surprise. They miss Chandler Parsons. I don't care what they think. They miss him. But Friday night, that's the game I'm looking forward to. The Cleveland Cavaliers come to town, come to the Phillips Arena. I live in Akron, Ohio currently. And I'm waiting to be exiled, of course. But what is this going to be about? Because you've got Kyrie Irving, who's day-to-day, and LeBron James, he's LeBron James, and Kevin Love, who still refuses to play defense. But they're playing very good basketball over the last 20 games or so. What are you looking forward to seeing on Friday? You'll be there, right?
Yeah, I'm planning on it. I want to see a playoff preview. I mean, I want to see the type of game that we saw when the Hawks played Golden State. You know, I think it's going to be nuts. I think the place will be packed. It's Dominique Wilkins night. I mean, the Hawks have thrown it down. You know, they're doing everything they can to make sure that's just going to be a crazy atmosphere that night. But this will be our first look at the Cavs since they got Shumpert, J.R. Smith, Timofey Mozgov. You know, those moves have paid big dividends. They seem to be buying in a little more to what Dave Blatt's trying to do. You know, early on, I felt like there was pushback there. I don't think those trades have made that much difference. Getting Mozgov's been huge with Varejao going down. But I think one of the big changes now is LeBron's buying into what Dave Blatt wants to do. And, you know, when LeBron buys in, the rest of those guys on that roster buy in. And, you know, it makes the pecking order work. It makes the system work. And I think that's the biggest difference in that team. They shut up and quit whining and went out and started playing basketball and playing winning basketball. So that's going to be a great game Friday night. I think the Hawks will be up for it. I think the Hawks recognize that's a challenge. You know, Atlanta had its turn as the talk of the East. Now everybody's talking about Cleveland. Everybody's pretty much – a lot of people forgot about Atlanta. You know, I see it three or four times a week that Atlanta's good, but they can't beat this Cavs team in the playoffs. You know, you can bet that the players see that stuff too. So, you know, I expect Atlanta to come out. But, you know, at the end of the day, as much as we love to talk about it, it's still only one game in March. You know, I mean, they may file some stuff away, but, you know, win or lose, it's not going to have that big of a difference on, you know, if what happens if these two teams meet in the playoffs. But, you know, it's another statement game in the regular season.
As luck would have it, or bad luck on my part, I've watched a lot of their games. And when I don't watch them, I'm listening to them on the radio. I know more about Cleveland than their reporters do, probably. And a dear friend of mine covers them for a newspaper. One of the things that they do is they run, and you watch them, they started doing this when J.R. Smith came over because they didn't have anyone who could really close the deal. They've been doing this high screen dribble, and the guy comes off the high screen, usually J.R. Smith, and they kick it to him in the corner, and he's getting those threes. I haven't seen an NBA team do that in a long time. I can't even remember when the last time I saw that. That's because they have such great shooters. And they have to be, you have to watch out for that. Kevin Love is a great shooter. He's not a very good defender, but he's a great shooter. Timothy Mozgov, he swats some shots. He kind of is lost behind the Hassan Whiteside thing, or whatever you want to call it, the fad or whatever it is. He's kind of lost in the shuffle, but he throws some shots. He's a very physical guy, and they picked up Kendrick Perkins too, who's a very physical player. These guys are going to hit you inside. That's something that they weren't doing the last time that the Hawks played. So it should be interesting. But the biggest thing is going to be the point guards, I think. We have LeBron James. We already know what he can do. And yes, Gloria, I'm not going to speak badly about your boy. But honestly, the deal is this. The guy that's going to be the difference maker for that basketball team in Cleveland is Kyrie Irving, and he's got a problem with his shoulder. And he's a guy who's never played a full season. The other thing that you want to remember about Cleveland, and I don't mean to be a Mike Hogg, but I do know this team pretty well, is that outside of LeBron James and maybe Kendrick Perkins for sure, they don't have anyone who plays quality minutes who've ever played a real serious NBA game. Not one that matters. Your Atlanta Hawks have a whole roster full of guys except for Dennis Schroeder who've played meaningful minutes in a real game, a real NBA game. That's going to be the difference in a playoff series and a Friday night, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you still hear people say, well, this Hawks team's never been at that level. You know, I hear people say they don't have a roster full of guys like that. But, you know, I mean, I think it's fair to point out, I mean, just like you did, I mean, you take LeBron, other than LeBron, you know, you look at a guy like Kyrie, he's never been in the playoffs. You know, I kind of like Kyrie. I've always been one of the guys that kind of defend him a little bit. So, you know, I think he's going to do fine when they get there. But I think he's in a situation where if they do struggle, he's one of the guys that's going to get a lot of the blame. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch. I think this Hawks team will be up for it. They'll probably try to downplay it as much as they can. Cleveland will probably try to downplay the matchup as much as they can. It's kind of similar to what we saw with Golden State. You know, neither team wants to just make a regular season matchup, you know, that important. But I mean, it's a good measuring stick game. It'll be fun. You know, it'll give you something. I mean, Cleveland's not going to catch Atlanta, you know, for the top seed, but you know, they can make a statement if they win at Phillips Arena here, you know, Friday night. So it'll be interesting to watch, no doubt.
They can make all the statements that they like, but I'm going to make one now. And I'll tell you this, I would take Atlanta's bench and their depth over the Cleveland Cavaliers bench in depth any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Their bench, they being Atlanta, is much underrated. It really is. Kent Bazemore is a nice player. Piero Antich is a beast who would probably be starting on a few NBA teams. Mike Scott does a nice job. You've got Elton Brand, who's been playing in the NBA for 100 years, who will give you those minutes. John Jenkins is a nice player. Dennis Schroeder, or Schroeder, I get it all goofed up.
Yeah, I haven't said it right at all here either.
That's okay. I know, and you cover them. But here's the thing. This Schroeder kid, when he's in there, you don't even see a difference. And Jeff Teague is, I think Jeff Teague's fantastic. And a guy who hardly gets to play, and you'll probably see him play a lot more on Saturday, is Shelvin Mack, who can shoot the ball a little bit. Now, what's Shelvin's status? He's healthy still, right?
Yeah, he's just slid into that third point guard spot. He's healthy. He's over the calf injury, but he's just not getting a lot of minutes right now. You know, he saw a little bit over the weekend at the, you know, as that point two guard you know, Mike Budenholzer likes to run that dual point guard set some. Shelvin's just a great luxury to have. But you're right. I mean, the Hawks bench has been it's been underrated all year. I mean, I still see some national guys talk about Atlanta's lack of depth, you know, and that can't be further from the truth. It's going to get better when they get Thabo Sefolosha back. Kent Bazemore, man, the first month of the season, the guy looked lost. But, you know, I don't know that anybody has been a better player off that bench. Maybe only Schroeder, you know, for the probably for the second half of most of January, ever since Thabo went down. I mean, he's played a key role off that bench, not only playing defense, bringing energy, but he's shooting the ball well. You know, and that's something we really weren't counting on from him. So, you know, Mike Scott, you saw what he can do in the playoffs. Man can just go unconscious shooting the ball. You know, his defense has gotten better. Paolo Anthic is struggling. That's a hot topic for most Atlanta fans. You know, everybody wants to bag on Paolo right now. But, you know, Mike Budenholzer trusts this guy. Mike Budenholzer says that his value goes beyond the stat sheet. It does. But Paolo's been struggling really bad lately. He can't make a shot. The team's slipping a little bit with him on the floor defensively. But I think he's banged up a little bit too. You know, it's a long season. He's not the youngest guy in the world. I'd like to see him maybe get a little more rest, get Elton Brand a few more minutes. But, you know, those wishing for him just to drop out of the rotation, it's not going to happen. You know, Budenholzer is sold on this guy, and he's confident in Paolo can give him good stretches when he needs him to. So, but, yeah, the bench has been fun to watch. You're exactly right.
So I'm one of the national guys who got it right. And I really appreciate that because I've been saying this all year. And Cleveland's bench is nice, but Tristan Thompson, they didn't even want to re-sign him. Kendrick Perkins, we all know about him. Mike Miller hardly plays. James Jones only plays when there's blowouts. Iman Shumpert's a nice defensive player who's shooting the ball a lot better. Joe Harris is a better player than some of these guys who are getting minutes above him. And Matthew Dellavedova, he's their backup point guard. He's okay. Seriously, it's not because I hate the Cavs or because I love the Hawks. It's just a fact. Anyway, it's going to be fun. And I hope that you Atlanta Hawks fans just sit back and relax and enjoy yourselves because I'm jealous of you. You're watching a great team play and you're crying about two-point wins. I don't understand it, but it is what it is. Chris, wonderful job. We didn't even miss Jason.
Yeah, man, he's always missed. But, you know, we'll try to pick up his slack. We'll lean on him heavily next week.
Well, we might just leave him home next week.
Well, we're like the Hawks, man. It's next man up, you know.
Somebody
goes down, you know, we have to pick up the slack. We'll get a sub in here if we have to, you know. That's the way it rolls.
I think it should be that way. And Jason, we didn't Wally Pip you today, so don't worry. Lou Gehrig is not waiting in the wings, and we'll see you next week. Chris, great stuff. As always, I enjoyed myself talking basketball with you.
It was fun. I appreciate it, Phil. Appreciate all you do for us.
Well, I appreciate all you guys do for me. And that's going to close her up for this week's Peachtree Hoops podcast. He's Chris Willis, and I'm Phil Nasons. And don't forget, you can catch us daily at Max Sports Channels, and you can catch us over at peachtreehoops.com. And maybe I'll even leave a message or comment or something. But comment and let us know what's up. Until next week, thanks for listening.